Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh, last week was hot over here on his due time with Pastor Steph. We started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues with our due time crew and our relationship conversation. And what do you think we talked about? Whether we should date our coworkers. Is it a good idea? I don't know. We asked our due time crew, and we asked them about some arbitrary topics. Oh, they said that they'll keep tabs on you. Oh, they said every time you turn around, people be asking questions. Things will get all twisted. Because, you know, they'll see you talking to somebody and, you know, what is going on, okay? Oh, they said you can't escape from an argument. Everywhere you go, you're going to be seeing and hearing the same argument you had from the night before. Yep, that's what they said they'll do. I don't know. What's been your experience? Do you think it's you know, cool to date a coworker? Because they said pretty much no to absolutely everything. Yes, they said no. It twists up your lunch period. They said you can't go on vacation. Oh yeah, they said that your whole life gets turned upside down. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be a real good idea. Well, we couldn't finish off a Monday if we did not have our switch tip by Shantice. And it was be gentle. Well, maybe that's one of the reasons why you couldn't date your coworker, because you weren't gentle. I don't know. What you thinking? I don't know. Well, you know, she gave a really good summary of being gentle and why we really need to make sure that we handle our business in God's manner. Yeah, it's easy to do whatever you want to do the way you want to do it. But, you know, a lot of times things are not successful until we do things the proper way. Yeah. And that's be gentle. And, you know, we try to figure out why things don't work right. Well, if we don't do things the way God wants us to do things, then a lot of times things are not going to come out the way we want it to turn out, or even better, the way God wants to turn, you know, wants it to turn out. So, don't stop all the hoop and hollering and, you know, turn it up. And you'll see, you know, eventually that, hey, being gentle is the way to go. So, you know, we finished off our Monday in a fantastic manner. Okay? Well, we got around to Tuesday, and we had a wonderful part two, our special edition of Church Folk Day. Let's talk about it Tuesday. Yep. You know how it goes down over here on Tuesdays. Well, we had our lady, Pastor Charlotte, our lady Tamika, and Shantice were back for part two of being a small-minded Christian. Yeah, we really can't run the risk of being a small-minded Christian, because then God's work does not get done. How do we know that? Because we have to remember that wisdom comes from God. And when you're a small-minded Christian, all the information you have actually goes nowhere. Nowhere. It goes nowhere. You can't think past what you can see. And your faith walk is absolutely dead. So you got to make sure, you know, you keep in tune to God. And this way, you will continue to grow. Okay, you know, if we talked about being a new creature, well, how are you going to be a new creature if you're staying in the same spot, if you're never growing? And again, to grow means to expand that small-minded thinking into something big. Okay? Okay. So, we moved over to Wow Wednesday with our girlfriend Vivian. And as always, Vivian has some wonderful news on one hand and some questionable news again, scratching your head. Oh, we talked about the fact that they, Purdue Chicken, will be dishing out $99 million for overcharging for chicken. Yeah, you were trying to figure out why are chicken wings the most expensive thing in the store when they used to be the cheapest thing when I was a kid. I'm telling you, you had nothing else, you had some chicken on the table. Well, it can't work like that now because the chicken is sky high. The last thing you want to buy from chicken, you can't even afford it. Well, they're going to pay, and it is a large class action suit, which means that anybody who has purchased chicken in the last decade, oh my, yeah, that means you're able to get some of those dollars. Ooh-wee. Yeah, that means that everybody will probably get about 3 cents. Yeah, you ever been a part of that class action suit? And you bust that check open? $1.21. Yeah, because the more people that go for the class action suit, the more people, yeah, have to get paid. So, you know, I said I'm going to leave my little ducats in there for you. You can have my money. Yeah, I'm not messing with that. I'm not messing with that. Yeah, I'll give that to you. That's my donation to the world for all the chicken that I've eaten over the past decade and I've been complaining about over the past decade. Well, the other thing is, well, Texas and Florida have both dropped all those crazy numbers. They're still high, but they dropped their numbers from the COVID infection, you know, so there's something to be joyful about. Well, we heard from our women of worship. And oh my goodness, they did their thing one more again when they talked about being a responsible Christian. Yeah, yeah. You know, you got to have that right attitude. You really got to have the right attitude if you want to make sure that you are a responsible Christian. You can't do everything that you want to do. You have to attend church. Yes, people think that no, I ain't got to go to church. No, I don't have to go because Jesus is in my heart. And no, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. The Bible tells us we need to be in church. And the ladies delivered wonderfully. Okay. We're at Techie Talk with Dwayne. And we shut our Wednesday down with none other than our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlotte. And it was fantastic. Yes. Well, it then was Therapeutic Thursday. Yep. Therapeutic Thursday. Today we discuss our health, regardless of mental or emotional or physical or spiritual or financial health. It doesn't matter. Your health, period. And we had our friend, Mr. Chris Lawrence Jackson, back with us. And we talked about how single mothers with loneliness. Yeah, it was some kind of conversation. He really did his thing. He really, really turned it up on Thursday. And he gave us a wonderful finish as to how to just kind of get through that loneliness. You know, we talked about not being, you know, just alone. You know, you're not alone. You might be lonely, but you are not alone. And you're going to have to get that in your head. Jesus and God, they are always there. So we got to make sure, you know, that we keep that in mind. And that way, you know, we don't get all twisted when it comes to things, you know, with money and, you know, doing the stuff that we need to do to get through. Because it's hard. This thing is hard. It's hard. Okay, make no mistake about it. It's not an easy journey. You're going to have to keep your head up at all times. And, you know, making sure you hang around with God. Because God is hanging around with you. Yes, if you're going to be a successful single parent, guess what? You're really going to need God in your corner. So it was a fantastic conversation. He really gave us a wonderful wrap-up. And we were so glad to have him with us again to share his expertise and his personal journey in life. Well, we ended off the week with Freestyle Friday, and the men tore it down. Oh, they sent us into a fantastic weekend as they talked about the keys to successful Christian living. We don't want to talk about successful living, and we don't just want to talk about being a Christian. We want to talk about being a successful Christian and that lifestyle. And one of the things we talked about with the men, you have to take note of what's important and what's not. It is nothing worse than watching people get all twisted over things that really have nothing to do with their life. Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it really, really doesn't matter. And a lot of people get all messed up because they think the priorities get all twisted. And before you know it, you're all involved with things that are not even important to your life. And you're trying to figure out how in the world you're going to get this done. Well, you can't get it done because it ain't got nothing to do with you. Oh, yeah. All right. Okay. So, you know, practicing gratitude is the other thing we talked about. And we want to make sure that we always give God thanks for everything that we get. Yeah. That's going to be a really important thing, just practicing gratitude, not only to God, but to people. To people who have really done things for us. How about that? Yeah. So, you know, if you don't show people your gratitude that you are grateful, rather, then what are they, you know, what are they going to keep on doing for you? Because I know I would. So, and you don't want people to feel that way about you. You don't want people to feel that way about you, right? Okay, no, you don't. So, I advise you to go back and listen. Oh, my goodness. Go back and listen to last week. If you pick any day to go back and listen to, oh, my, you are going to be blessed. Okay? I promise you. I would not mislead you. That stuff would not mislead you. Well, today we are back to shaking the Monday morning blues. So no matter what happened over the weekend, no matter what happened this morning, we are here. We're on point. We're going to help you get through this morning. You know, I just woke up. I just didn't want to, you know, get up. I got up on the wrong side of the bed. Why you got up? Oh, how about that? How many people missed that opportunity this morning, huh? Got to get it together. Get it together, because we're going to be shaking off all that bluesy feeling. Yeah, we're going to be shaking off all that bluesy feeling. All of it. By the time this morning is done, you're going to be done with all that bluesy stuff, okay? So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you get those sardines, yes, because that's going to get that blood sugar down. Make sure you get that, what do you call that thing, that pomegranate juice. Oh, my goodness. This week, I'm going to go back and get that pomegranate juice and all the things that pomegranate juice does. Yeah, pomegranate juice is on point. On point. We're going to make sure we get all of those things for you so you can, you know, get healthy. Yes, you can do that on your own. So we're going to do that today. Going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. So, oh yeah, go get that pen and paper. I got a list for you. Go get that paper. Alrighty. Well, get settled, and while you're waiting, go tell a friend, and we'll be right back.
Anybody
can have a stroke.
And anyone,
even you, can prevent a stroke-related death.
Someone has a stroke every 40 seconds.
Every 40 seconds.
140,000 people die each year from a stroke.
140,000.
But you.
You.
You can put a stop to that death count by remembering FAST.
FAST.
The acronym FAST.
F. Face.
Ask the person to smile. Is there a droop in one side of their face?
A is arms.
Ask the person to raise both their arms. Does one of them drift down?
S.
Speech. Speech. Ask that person to repeat
a simple phrase.
Is their speech slurred or strange?
AFT. Time. If any of these signs occur, call 911 immediately.
Immediately.
Remember FAST.
FAST.
And spread the word.
Repeat.
To defeat stroke.
Good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And oh boy, we are shaking the Monday morning blues together this morning. So no matter how you got up, no matter what's on your mind, you know, if even after you prayed, somehow you are still bluesy, we're about to get rid of that, because the Due Time Crew is coming up soon with a crazy conversation, and I know we're going to have a good time this morning. You know, See, here's what could have first off, you know, started you to shake the Monday morning blues. If you listen to last week was absolutely dynamic. You know, even as the host of this broadcast, I learned so much, and I grow so much each day from listening to the Due Time Crew. Yes, Monday through Friday, ooh, baby. Alrighty, you listen to Due Time Crew from Monday through Friday, you on point. Trust me when I tell you, you're going to be on point. Alrighty, so we're going to talk about how to shake the blues together. Yeah, you know, for the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about little things you can do to shake off that bluesy feeling. And, you know, one of the first things they tell us to do this week, guess what? Create a gratitude list. Oh, did we just talk about that on Friday? That was just part of my little recap. Yes. Create a gratitude list. Listen, that makes a whole lot of sense. If you think about all the things that you're grateful for, wow. If you think about all the things that you should be grateful for, then you just might change that attitude. Because how in the world could we possibly think about all the good things that God is doing for us and we can't change and turn that all around? Man, just making that list, when I think about stuff that even happened over the weekend that I need to be grateful for, yeah, already my attitude would start to change. Okay? They say decorate your house. Well, I got to tell you, we're going through some serious renovation. And this house has been in a turmoil for about 9 months. And oh my goodness, as you know, the church, we could not make it without the church members here. And when they left on Saturday night, man, your attitude started shifting. Yep. Because, you know, you really think about how much work they've put into it, how the whole place is beginning to turn around. And yeah, it does make you feel better. That's no joke. So do some little stuff to your house. Okay, you know, just buy new curtains, or let me tell you something. Paint is about $30. If you got a quick $30, pick a color of your choice and get to changing the color of that room and watch your whole attitude change. It will shift. I promise you, it will shift. It will shift. Okay? They say sleep it off. Go take a nap. Remember when you were a kid and your mother got mad at you because you were laughing too much, or you did something stupid, or you dropped something, and she said, oh, no, you tired. Go take a nap. You know what's funny now? As adults, we die to take a nap. Oh, I wish I could go grab back some of the naps that I cried over. You know, I look at these kids, I'm like, you don't want to sleep? That's all right. You stay right there because I'm going to take your nap because I need to sleep. Yes. So go take a nap. Go take a nap. You know, maybe sometimes you just haven't gotten enough, you know, sleep in your arsenal. And you may feel a little bit better when it's all said and done. Okay? All righty. Well, they say track your mood. Well, you know, we talk about journaling here quite often on this Due Time. And that's one of the things that you can. If you watch your mood, yeah, maybe you'll see that I'm a little twisted and I don't need to be feeling like this so often. And maybe you'll pray a little bit more. Or maybe you'll read your Bible a little bit more. And when you do those things, then maybe you'll feel better. So, you know, track how you've been feeling. That's really important, you know, because once you get a glance at it on a piece of paper, yeah, you may start to feel a whole lot better than you anticipated. Okay? And last but not least, today they say set new habits. Start doing some new stuff. Start doing some stuff that you haven't been doing. Some new stuff. Not the same old stuff in a new way. Try something new. And, you know, maybe that'll shake your bluesy feeling. How about that? Okay? All right. So those are the things they suggest for us, you know, this week. They say if you want to shake that bluesy feeling, they say create a gratitude list, decorate your house, sleep it off, track your mood, and set new habits. Mm-hmm. And let's see if you start feeling a little better. Okay? All right. Well, it's time for our news. What are we talking about today? Ooh. Okay, I got a couple of good ones here today. I mean, it's not good news like that, but, you know, there's a lot to be said for listening to our mothers. You know, they say a hard head make a soft behind. Remember they used to say that over there? Well, over the weekend, we had a young lady, if you want to, and we talked about, you know, listening to your parents and how your parents, you know, try to shake being lonely. And, you know, they watch you over the years, and they kind of know what's best for you. Well, there's a woman, and she gave her daughter some advice. And her daughter has some mental issues. And I think she was indulging in some drugs here and there. And she told her daughter, listen, her daughter got caught stealing. She was trying to break into cars, and she was stealing some stuff back in April. And she went to jail. And her mother told her, you know what? You do better staying in there. So go ahead and stay in jail. Because if you get out of jail, you're really not going to take your meds. You're going to get in some fight, and you really going to get hurt. So, you know, clearly this was a pattern of behavior for her. And lo and behold, she went to jail. 2 weeks after she got out of jail, she was stabbed to death by an ex-con in a Harlem hallway. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, when I read it, the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, when your mother and your father and your grandma and your aunties and your uncles and next-door neighbor and the pastor and, you know, old mother, you know, Johnson in the church, when they're telling you something, you take offense to it. I don't need to hear that. They don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, well, sometimes they do. And she said she begged her daughter. She said, I beg my daughter to stay in jail. And this was my final conversation with her. Now, here's the thing. You know, it you tell the daughter to stay in jail. Now, we know they can't keep her past the time that, you know, she was sentenced. So it's not like, you know, it was the day of her release and she went and said, you know, can I stay? Because, you know, my mother told me that, you know, if I come out, I ain't going to make it. You know, she couldn't go and say that. However, she could have come out and changed her behavior. Because, you know, being locked up, it does nothing for you if you don't have the mindset to change. If you're, while you're in there, if you're plotting as to how you gonna rob that next bank, and I got caught robbing the bank the first time, and I know what not to do when I come out and I go to rob that bank, you know, it just wasn't successful. And you plan to rob that bank, then your jail stay was partially useless because it's not there for rehab. But you can use it for rehab. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with using it, you know, to get you as a reset? You know, I was out there doing stuff I didn't have no business doing. And I'm going to do my little spin here on Rikers. Yeah, Rikers, that's where she was. Because Rikers, you ain't going to stay no more than 2 years. So if you're at Rikers, you got some little petty, stupid stuff you did. So that is definitely an opportunity to kind of get a reset. Rikers Island, people visit you all the time. You know, if you got them kind of people in your corner who are going to visit you. You know, so you can definitely use that as a reset. Get your head together. Get your life together. And whatever you were doing, just cut it out. And, you know, to have a mom who was visiting you or you were calling and she said, you know, hey, listen, stay there. Just stay there. Because if you come out, you're going to mess around with somebody out here. You're really going to get yourself hurt. You knew you couldn't stay there past the time. So that was a way of getting into your head, I need to do a reset. Let me get myself together. Let me do what I need to do so that when I come out, I can, you know, be assured that I'm not going to get into no problem. I'm going to make sure I take my, you know, my meds. I'm going to do what I need to do, and we're going to call it a day. Okay? Oh, so you know what? If your mom or your dad or someone who loves you is telling you something for your own good, please, just take the advice. Because you see here what happened when she didn't. It cost her whole entire life. Her whole life. Okay? So, on to our next story. Now, this one was, what's wrong with these people? We went over this last week. You know, a whole lot of people got some mental issues. Yeah, you know, anger is a mental issue for some people, really, because they are straight out of control. Okay, so there was a baby shower that took place in Pittsburgh, and there got to be a shooting. Yeah, they were shooting. Three people were shot, including a 16-year-old and a 19-year-old and a 23-year-old. 23, 19, 16. So everybody here is young who got shot. Well, they got to arguing over something so dumb, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. They got to arguing over something that was so dumb, and, you know, the guy pulled out a gun, and he started shooting. Well, it was the baby daddy. Yes. It was the father-to-be. How do you get to shooting at your baby shower? Not because someone came. Now, remember last week's story, they got to shooting and killed the mother-to-be. Yes. Remember that story? Yes, they killed the mother-to-be when the old, you know, when the ex and the father-to-be, well, they were leaving the shower with the gifts, packing the car, and they got to arguing. She stepped in. She tried to defuse the situation, and he just pulled out a gun and shot her in the head. Dead, just like that. Well, this week's story, 23-year-old, 19-year-old, 16-year-old, they are all shot by the father-to-be. Do you know why? help me, y'all. Somebody, another woman, he got to arguing with another woman at the shower, not the one that was shot, because she wanted him to transport the gifts from the baby shower. Are y'all ready for that? They got to arguing over that. He said something disrespectful to her. She slapped him in his face. He pushed her, and they got to fighting. And there was, you know, some men intervened. And when he was on the ground, father to be, he pulled out a gun and started shooting. Yes. And that's how these people got shot. All because someone asked you to transport the gifts from the baby shower. Now, unless we hear another version of this story as to what, you know, really happened, why does that become an argument? How in the world does that get from, oh, you know, so-and-so, can you take these gifts to the house, to an argument? How do we get there? Why are we so out of control that an argument starts over any stupid and insignificant? How? Why are we so out of control that we can argue over this? Now, and this was, you know what, people argue over all the time over stupid stuff. Listen, just cut it out. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about you're supposed to be in the frame of mind. You are celebrating the coming of your unborn child. How do we get here? You knew that the gifts were coming to the shower. So if someone asked you to take it to wherever it needed to be, that to me should have been something that nobody should have even had to talk to you about. Now, maybe that was what the argument was. Maybe she mentioned it, and he said, well, you ain't got to tell me, you know, to take the gifts home, because I already know, or take the gifts to so-and-so place, I already know. Well, then get to taking the gifts and leave it alone. Because whatever happened, however this verbal argument, however far that went, it was disrespectful enough for her to slap him in his face. So now you got to lay hands on people. Let me tell you something. Let's talk about this thing here for a minute. I know it's not let's talk about it, Susie, but Stephanie and I want to talk about it. How you get to slapping the guest of honor? How? Again, how do we get here? You know, that's always my question. I always ask people, help me out. How do we get here? It's like there are no steps that are taken to diffuse the situation. Everybody's at a turned up point. Everybody is at turned up point where he said something. Y'all done got to arguing long enough for him to say something disrespectful to you, and you feel you got to slap him. Now, if you at my baby shower and you slap my man, there might be a little more than one fight going on. See, I don't know about all of that. I'm just saying. If I was that type of person, but you know, Pastor Steph's not a fighter. She's a preacher. I'm not a fighter. So I'm not trying to fight. But think about this now. How many women gonna watch you fight or slap their man? So that's what I'm saying when I say, you know, it's gonna be more than one fight. Because you took a big chance on slapping him. Because my thing is, if mom was there, mom to be was there, you either got to be from mom's side or his side. So if you're from his side, you probably already know how he is. So you probably wouldn't even be messing with him like that. You already know he's a short fuse. You already know he's going to say something disrespectful. So you don't even mess with him like that. If you're there from the mom's side, then have that dialogue with the mom. If you felt, well, however you ended up being the one to talk about this baby gift being delivered or dropped off, however you want to, you know, approach him, that's one thing. But when it got to be the point where he said something, then you go talk to the mother. Go talk to your girlfriend. Go talk to your cousin. Whoever she is to you, go talk to her. You putting your hands on a man, you ready for a fight. That's saying I'm fighting. Because, see, you can't put your hand on a woman. And a whole lot of men, they're not going to just brush that off and look at you and go, you know, my mother always told me never hit a girl. Nah, that ain't going down this day. Not only did it get to the point of where it was, because he hit her back. Yes, that's the way the story goes. He, the articles that I read, because I went over several of these articles, because for the first set of articles, they never told what they were arguing about. They just said an argument pretty much ensued, and, you know, there's some, you know, shots rang off, and, you know, three people, including a 16-year-old, got shot at the shower. And you, do I have to tell you what side of the fence we're on? Do I really have to go there? No. Because let me tell you something about the other side of the fence. The other side of the fence is going back to old school baby showers. They're not busting up with the DJ. They're not busting up with all the liquor and the Hennessy and the Great Goose and, you know, no, they ain't doing all of that. Men are not at the shower. If you see the man, it's at the end of the shower and he is taking the gift. He drops her off, possibly. He picks her up, and or they load the car, and they say thank you, and they get to going. See, it's us who have turned baby showers into parties where everybody and their mama come, and, you know, this ain't no baby shower the way it used to be. What happened to those? See, those, there was no argument. Those, there was no fighting. It was nothing but a bunch of women. Everybody talked about when they had their baby, how the dad acted, how long you were in labor. They played games. We ate. What happened to that? Do you see why we can't evolve into things? Because now you got the shootings. Women ain't shooting at women, generally. No. So that's why I say, you know what side of the fence is on. Yeah, I looked. They just posted a picture on this article this morning. And yeah. You know, he's 25 years old, so he's young and stupid. So here you are. You so out of control that you gonna miss the arrival of the baby. So you won't have to worry about taking anything anywhere. You'll be taking yourself to the men's shower. Yeah, you'll be taking yourself to court. Yes, really? You know what? I tell you, it was ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So, you know, I don't know. Where my two-time crew at? Because it's about time to talk to them. Where they at? Let me get myself together here so I can have my conversation with them. Where's Brother Al? Let's say good morning to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al. We still spinning.
How you doing?
Hey,
oh, there you go. You're on mute,
Brother Al. Yes.
Chop of the morning. Chop, shiggity chop. Of the morning. Oh, yeah. How you doing this Monday morning?
I am well, thank you. I am well, thank you. I can tell you're doing well.
Oh, yeah. Good Lord tapped me on the shoulder. You know my saying to say, get on up, Brother Al. I said, thank you, Lord.
All righty now. We saying thank you, Lord, too, for waking up, Brother Al. So, Brother Al, we talking this morning about Mom Told Me So. And unfortunately, we're not here to understand why Mom was telling me what she was telling me. And then went out here, possibly didn't take my meds, got into an argument, and got stabbed to death in a Harlem hallway by an ex-con. Mom told me to stay in jail, Brother Al. I mean, hard head make a soft behind, huh?
Oh, yeah, hard head make a soft behind. But like you were saying, though, you know, when your time is done, you can't stay in jail. You know, mom
right.
should have more so been telling her to try and change your ways.
Right.
That's what
right.
mom should have been telling her, because once your time up, they're saying, okay, get up out of here. You know what I'm saying? And so mom should have been more stressing on, hey, listen, you need to change. You should have took that prison time to reflect, and you need to change how you're moving right now.
Well, Brother Al, before she got to telling her to stay in jail, she had to have told her do that. Because remember, it said she told her, listen, you're going to come out here, get off your meds, you're going to get into a fight, and somebody's going to hurt you. So clearly, this has been the cycle. This has been what's been going on.
Right.
So I'm sure before mom told her, because listen, she was 38 years old. At 38, mom had told you a couple times, hey.
Oh, yeah.
Get yourself together.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, man, it's just I didn't hear that part. I think I did get on. I got on in the middle of it. But, yeah, man, you know, it's like you said, hard head make it soft behind. We didn't heard that. I didn't heard that so many times. But I was always, I used to always say, what does that mean? Until you do something, like, oh, that's what it means. But, man, it's a sad incident that, you know, I guess she, you know, she realized, too, that her daughter had some mental issues, you know. I wonder if she could have maybe reached out to try to get more help for her.
At 38, ain't no whole lot of helping going on. So I'm sure, you know, maybe, hopefully, you know, when she was, you know, maybe a little younger, you know, she tried. But, you know, and again, you know, when you're talking to a 38-year-old, even if you try to get more help, at one point, how much? It's about you right now, Brother Al. At 38 years old, you're almost 40 years old. It's really not much your parent, you know, can really do for you. So, you know, whatever lectures I didn't gave, all the help that I may have tried to get you, you're on your own now. I'm telling you, listen, you're not going to take your meds. See, just by, let me tell you something, I'm a mother. And I could tell you right now, just that one statement, I said stay in jail, because if you get out of jail, this is what will happen. You're going to get off your meds and have an episode and get in a fight with somebody and you go get hurt. You know how many times you had that conversation with that woman?
Yeah,
I'm quite sure, quite a few. Yeah, I said that just from that one statement, Brother Al, as a mother, she had this conversation quite a few times. So unfortunately, you know, this is where we ended up. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, they said, so they say that she was bipolar and she had a drug addiction. And pretty much, you know, they said she was in Rikers for breaking in cars. She was trying to steal stuff out of cars, and she had stole some things back in April. So, yeah, this is atypical of somebody with a drug addiction. And unfortunately, this is what happens. Listen, Brother Al, let me ask you. What? Give me an occurrence when your parents said to you, hard head, make a soft behind, you didn't listen, and you got smashed behind not listening.
Oh, yeah. Let me see which one. A perfect example. My dad always telling me, son, I know you're getting older, you know, and he, you know, tried to warn me a little bit about playing basketball. Hey, look, the girl's going to come. I know you're going to be out there. Make sure you protect yourself. Being hard-headed, didn't protect myself, and got myself into quite a bit of trouble behind that. So that's definitely one right there. Definitely. My dad tried to warn me. Listen, I see the little girls coming while you're playing. Boy, I'm telling you, pay attention and, you know, enjoy yourself. You know, be okay, but protect yourself. I said, all right, Dad, I got you. That went in one ear and right out the other. And so things went down. Then I was like, wow.
Wait, I got a question, Brother Al, because you've been quite candid about this situation. You've talked about this before. So wait. How you make that mistake four times? How after the first time we didn't learn? How after the second time? I'm talking mama style here. How after the first time you don't learn? How after the second time you don't learn? How after the third time you don't learn, Brother Al? What happened?
Hard head and young and dumb. Very simple. Hard-headed and young and dumb. Think you know everything. Think you know everything and young and dumb.
Man.
That's why.
Wow.
I give it to you plain and simple. Young and dumb and think you know everything.
Wow, man. I hope whoever's listening, you know, from the time you've been talking about this, really, they would, you know, the Bible says we should be learning from other people's mistakes. We ain't got to be stepping in our own landmines. You know, we did learn from somebody else's mistakes. So everybody, you ain't got to make four times the same error.
Four times.
As Brother
L. Can't do it. Don't do it.
Okay. Don't do it.
Don't you do it. And I don't mind talking about it because I'm hoping, you know, I don't mind talking about it. I talk to it to my kids and the boys, the mentoring program, and I want them to understand and learn from my mistake. Don't do what
Absolutely.
I did. It is not good.
Absolutely.
Your behind going to be soft. My behind was so soft I couldn't sit down. So soft.
Oh, my
goodness. So soft, boy.
Wow.
I couldn't sit down.
Wow. Speaking of babies, this baby shower where the father-to-be was the shooter over something so stupid. Not because he was offending, you know, from people who came and shouldn't have been there. What happened, brother? How we get so out of control?
You know, I'm listening. We need to put a ban on baby showers right now because, you know, we get a lot of these baby shower crazy stories. But, you know, from listening to it, you know, and people have to understand that the enemy is on the attack. So when you put stuff in the atmosphere, so obviously this young man who's about to have a baby, okay, he put it in the atmosphere because he already, while he getting ready for the baby shower, he also packing his gun just in case something go down.
Right.
So you already got the mindset. You didn't put it in the atmosphere that, you know what, I'm going to be ready because if something go down, I'm going to do this. So you already gave the enemy the ammunition. You gave the enemy the ammunition right there to say, okay, you know what, he's ready, so let me go on and continue to get this going. And as for the young lady, again, you should have walked away. You don't slap nobody.
Right.
You know, that.
Right.
You know, you don't slap. You got like, when he started talking, whatever, she should have said, you know what, and just walked away. But see, these young kids, man, they don't have no value for life. Everybody want to be a thug and a gangster. It's just crazy. I just look at these kids and shake my head like, it's just simple to just walk away. Oh, if I walk away, people think I'm a pawn. They think I'm a soft. But you live to fight another day, brother.
That's right.
You live to fight another day. Walk away.
That's right.
So we need to ban these baby showers. Like you said, put it back to the old school. Let the women go there. And us men, we go pick up the gifts and take them where they need to go. And number one, you should be thankful because when baby showers happen, you basically have to buy nothing because everybody that bought stuff for you.
Yep. And you shoot
so you should
people
be grateful
that
for that alone.
Yep.
It's just like, now what happened? You just shot these people. Now you're going to jail, and now your son or daughter got to grow up without a father. So you're not thinking they don't think about that stuff like that. And like you said, Pastor Steph, you know, I play music and stuff. These baby showers are parties now. It ain't baby showers a party.
Nope. Straight up.
You know?
Straight up.
It's a party.
Yep. Got to have the music bumping, the liquor, you know. I'm like, I look around and I'm like, really? It's just, I don't know, Brother Al. Times have definitely changed from when we were coming up, and it is really, really something else.
Insane.
Thank you so much
Insane.
For joining us today, Brother Al. We're
going
to talk to our Pastor Charlene. Let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today and everybody?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here, a little congested, but I'm here.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Oh, we're talking about Mama Told You So. Now I know lessons to be learned. Well, come on, Pastor Charlotte. Well, what's your thought behind this story with the, you know, she suffered with bipolar and a drug addiction. Mama said, hey, stay where you are. What happens when we don't listen?
Absolutely. It's a sad story, but by her taking different medications. Good way, right? Two different medications.
Wow. Didn't look at it like that, Pastor Jarlin.
So by her doing that and being 38, you have no say, because what they do is they say you are an adult, no matter how your family feels about it, you are adult. We cannot make them take their meds. We cannot make them go to the doctors and get checked, so that's where the downfall came in. And it's so sad because mother always, as they smoke, they say mother knows best, but she, for her, like everybody said that, she can't stay in jail only but certain amount of time, whatever your time is, then you got to come out. So it was her decision that she made. It was a bad one, but that's what happened. It's so sad to hear that she got killed, but it was her decision.
Wow. I'm looking at the article, and they say that, desperate to get out of Rikers and try to get, things figured out for herself, she went into a rehab program in the Bronx in exchange for an early release. And they said she left the rehab 15 minutes after being dropped off there. So her decision really wasn't to get help. You know what I'm saying? It was anytime you standing in the mouth of the rehab center and you leave 15 minutes after you being dropped, you got some other things on your mind.
Right. You look at it this way. You told me if I go there, so I'm going to show you that I made the effort. But by me being 38, I still can leave. They can't make you stay. If you don't want to stay,
absolutely,
they can't make you stay.
That's right. That's why I say you really didn't have, you didn't make no effort. You got on the bus. You got off the island. And no effort. Effort would have been you stayed 5 days. You didn't stay 5 minutes. 15 minutes after being dropped off. So that means that she probably didn't even go through the intake process, where they get all your information and all of that stuff. 15 minutes after she got there, she was gone, and unfortunately, this is where she ended up, dead in the Harlem's Wagner houses. So, it's unfortunately...
Wow.
This is really, really a very sad situation. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say this one piece, that when for her to know that she can, okay, I'm going to go to say that, and like you said, get on the bus. But she must have had this experience before to know that she can leave in 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, she's 38 years old. I'm sure she didn't try this thing here before, this drug rehab. This is probably her, first time. I tell you, just listening to mom's, that one statement from me says it was loaded with a bunch of I told you souls with this here. She says, I know what you're going to do. You're going to come out. You're not going to take your meds. And you're going to end up getting hurt. That means Pastor Charlotte, she didn't talk about this before. They didn't have this conversation before. This ain't no first time conversation about this. Ain't no first time conversation. All right, so on to the baby showers. Are they going buck wild or what?
Oh, yeah. I went to a baby shower. I didn't know that they pull out the red carpet. They had the big chairs, like, when you get married. They had the gowns on. And I'm like, I thought I came to a baby shower. I didn't know I was coming to a wedding, some kind of wedding type of thing. They go all out, liquor is flowing, it was just, I was like you said, what happened to the old time baby showers, you know, where you go get your toilet tissue, wrap around and see how many inches you gonna win the prize. Got the little clip on. They didn't even do that. I was so stunned. Like, you know, they had, like, okay, y'all church people sit right here. But it didn't matter where you sat at, because they out in the public getting high, drinking. You know, the music is blasting so loud you can't hear. So, yeah, I understand about this young man that came and, you know, and somebody done told him. And like Brother Al said, he already was strapped. That wasn't like, that was a part of his clothes, something that he did all the time, because you would think that for there, that, you know, you wouldn't carry it. But that was like a piece of his clothes, because they take it wherever they go. And, you know, and then somebody told him to take, like you said, his baby stuff. Doing that? Get somebody else to do that. So he already plucked with an attitude. Whoever this person took a chance to slap him, now he got slapped in front of people. So now I got to show that I'm bigger than all of that. So now I got to just, you know, do me. Because maybe they laughed or whatever. So I'm going to get you, and you. And it's sad. It's sad. But even if you went back to just having the females too, you know, it's always going, in this time I'm talking about, these children now having babies, that where they don't have no values of life, you know, and they don't care. They don't care. So what I be in there, so what, you know, my baby might not see me right now, but you know what, my boy going to take care of you while I'm in here. You know, and that's the attitude that they have. I see you when I get out. It's sad, but that's how they live it.
Yeah, it is. It really, 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 really is. It's a sad story, because it's okay. Clearly, and see, here's why people think I'm crazy when I say this. I say I just don't celebrate births anymore. Because these children are being born into these crazy worlds of these parents. So the same way he didn't think about the kid now, he wouldn't think about the kid later. There's just something else would have happened when the kid came, and like you said, and Brother Al said, you know, how are you packing a gun to go to your baby shower? So something was already on your head. Something was already on your head. So...
Absolutely. You know, I don't know what else they don't think about? You got me. You shot my family. Now my family can come get her. We can't
get
you. You about to get locked up. But now you got her in danger. You got this baby in danger. And sometimes after they come back. They come back.
Yeah. I just recently heard a story about it. You know, I just recently heard a story. About some, and that's a real story, not no news story, just somebody I know. So, yeah, these people, it doesn't always end there. It doesn't always end there, which is a sad part. Thank you for joining us this morning, Pastor Charlene. Let's get to our girl, Lady Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning to you and everybody.
Good morning. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. It's Monday. Look, the Lord allowed me to live another day. I am happy, happy, happy.
Amen. Amen. You know, we're talking about this young lady, and, you know, whose mom told her to, well, I forgot to ask Pastor Charlene, but, you know, whose mom told her, you know, hey, this is what you do, because I know, you know, if you don't follow this, something is going to happen. And I was reading further into the story, and they say that, yes, she was bipolar, you know, way back when. She got involved with crack, and she got out of Rikers. She was staying with a friend off and on. She was, you know, go with the friend, stay at the friend's house to, like, shower
and get something to eat, and then she would hit the streets again. And here's the thing. They said she was killed by an ex-con. So let me just tell you all about this ex-con here, because this is why we got to make sure we pay attention, because people are always, this world is sick. So he's 61 years old, and he has a long criminal history, and they say that he fatally stabbed a 26-year-old man back in 2005 because the 26-year-old man wouldn't lend him a lighter for his crack pipe. Oh, Lord have mercy. So he spent 10 years in Sing Sing, and then he was paroled. And his parole just expired this past September. And here now, you end up killing this young lady, this woman. They said he was out. No. They said he's been out of jail for 3 years. 3 years. He got out in 18. And he ended up killing again. So we don't know. Remember, now she's on crack as well. So we don't know what took place in this lobby. We don't know what the discussion was or what the argument was over. But, yeah, another incident with another crack, a person using crack. What's your thought? What's your thought about listening to Mama?
Definitely. Mama has it right. And as we can see, you know, what Mama said actually happened, you know. And sometimes we also have to be careful in addition to what we say. You know, we don't know if what Mama said, meaning that, you know, she being killed, put it into action. We have no idea, you know, but I'm sure, you know, this is not the first time. And I went to college with a young lady who was bipolar, and she from time to time would not take her medicine. And you didn't even have to say anything to her. The way that she looked off. You know, when you got ready to speak to her, her responses were off. And when you don't take that medicine, and I used to ask her, just, you know, I had to be very careful how I spoke to her when she was off her medicine, because surely enough, she was likely to snap without warning. You know, you just said good morning, and she just, you know, went on a tangent. You know, I remember one time I said to her, we're going to go to the mall, and we're going to go hang out, me and a couple of friends. You want to come with us? She was like, well, it's going to rain. I was like, well, we have umbrellas. What's the problem? And she just literally went into a whole conversation about a half an hour to herself, because I even was trying to interject, and she just went into this. So, you know, you have to be really, really careful. And I'm sure Mommy knows, you know, Mommy knew how she was acting, and she tried her best to save her child. However, you know, that thing starts at birth. You know, we often talk about taking your children to church. It is so vital. You know, that, you know, I've heard people say, oh, well, I just let my child make a decision. And I think that's to the detriment of your child, because your child needs to know way, way before they can walk, you know, who Jesus is, because when they get to this point, they're doing whatever they want to do, you know, and you can't stop them now. You have to stop them in the cradle. You have to start in the cradle, yep, so that it doesn't lead to the grave.
Right, right. To an early grave at that. You know, it's,
mm-hmm.
I'm really, they said she was a wonderful young lady, and, you know, she would keep a job, you know, from time to time. And, you know, once they take their meds, a lot of them are very functional. You know, that's not odd to hear, you know, that they, you know, she was productive when she was on her meds and not using drugs. And just like Pastor Charlotte said, she was taking two kinds of meds. You know, imagine being bipolar and taking drugs. You know, getting another mind-altering, you know, substance in your body. It's a whole lot going on up in that brain. A whole lot going on up in that brain. Oh, my goodness. So, baby showers. What is going on at the baby showers? I don't think I want to be invited anymore. I'm going to send my gift. I'm going to embroider something and send it with a messenger. I don't think I'm going. Unless it's for another pastor.
Oh, what is going on, Tamika, with the baby showers?
Well, with the baby showers that we both, you know, the last two sets of baby showers we've had, I was thinking to myself, you want to have metal detectors, you know, for people that come in. But now I'm thinking you need metal detectors for those whose shower it is, because
okay.
The last two sets of baby showers that we've had were the people who are, you know, responsible for the shower. So I'm thinking maybe you should have metal detectors for everybody that walks in the building, including the people, the parents, because apparently they're just out. I don't get it, you know. And I want to sum both of the stories that we're talking about scripturally with 2 Timothy 3:1-5. I'll read it real quick. But mark this, terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people.
That says a lot, girl. That says a lot. Yes, you know, this is definite. As Pastor Kim would say, everybody say it with me. These are the signs.
We are in our last
day. That's right. Because look, and the Bible is that those scriptures say so. You know, where people are lovers of themselves, of money. You know, there's nothing that makes sense. There's nothing that makes sense because everybody's focusing on them. We just talked about two people. Neither one of them knew how to step off. Neither one of them knew how to just turn away. And that's because it has to be about you. I have to have the last say. I have to have the last word. Thank you so much for those scriptures, Tamika, and being with us today. We are going to take a quick break here so we can, you know, do a reset, you know, give you an opportunity to go ahead out here and get that cup of tea that's percolating in that, you know, on that stove, that hot water. All right? So hold on. You're on with this Due Time with Pastor Steph. We'll be right back.
We all have a role in keeping our food safe. Farmers should follow good agricultural practices to assure that the food they produce is the healthiest it can be. Markets and restaurants are required by law to follow safe food handling procedures when selling raw or cooked foods to their customers. And each one of us should always practice proper food handling, cooking, and storage at home. Make sure that you're doing your part to keep food safe for all of us. A message from the Hawaii Department of Agriculture.
The morning without some dew. Spend yours with Pastor Steph.
Good morning to you again, and welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. We are shaking the Monday morning blues here today, this morning. And I'm so glad you're joining us, and hopefully if you've got any little bluesy feeling going on, the Due Time crew can help you get rid of that. We just got finished talking about our crazy news this morning, and we're about to get into our conversation real quick. And I want to say good morning again to my Due Time crew members. And get settled. because we're about to have a nice little conversation. All righty? All right. So let me say good morning. Good morning, Due Time crew.
Good morning.
Chop of the morning.
Morning.
Chop of the morning.
All righty. All righty. So, you know, we just got finished talking about this crazy behavior of people and, you know, what we argue over, just such stupid things. And, I want to talk about the dumbest arguments that we get into with our partner. Some of the dumbest arguments, All right. Why do we have to argue over what we having for dinner? Come on, Brother Al. What's going on? Why are we arguing over that?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear that last part. You said we arguing over what?
What we having for dinner.
And you know what's so funny about that? It happens because you'll say to your other half, what you feel like eating today? Oh, I don't know. I don't care, whatever. And then when you get whatever, then they come back to you saying, oh, I don't want that. So now there's an argument. Like, okay, you just said you didn't care, and now that I got it, you're telling me you don't want it. I didn't have to have it quite a few times. Get whatever you think. You sure? Nah, whatever you get is fine. All right, I'm going to get this. Then I go get this. And then there's an argument. Oh, I don't want that. Really? You just told me to get whatever. So that starts a lot right there.
Oh, you know, you're off to a good start, Brother Al. Come on, Pastor Charlotte. Why are we arguing over what we having for dinner if it ain't a burger? Are you arguing, Pastor Charlotte? We over here laughing. Yes, I said, oh, my God, if that ain't us, what you want? I say to my husband, what you want to eat? Whatever you want to eat. We'll do that. No, because you know what I'm going to say. What you want to eat? And we'll go back and forth.
You know
I eat a burger every day. And he'll say, but I asked you what you wanted. I asked you what you wanted. So now you either suffer, eat what I eat, or there's some soup in there. That is us. Yes, Lord, that's me. Wow, she said, well, there's some soup in there. Tamika, is there some soup in there for you, too?
If it needs to be, you know, it's soup. So here's the thing. You go in and you say, well, what would you like to eat? Oh, well, it's up to you. Well, I didn't ask me. I'm asking you what you wanted to eat. So then at that point, now it becomes an argument because I'm asking your opinion. You're not giving me your opinion. You're saying whatever it is that I want. Well, if that was the case, then I would just go ahead and cook the meal myself for me to cook it. And then you say, well, I chicken again, or I don't want chicken. That'll cause a whole lot of problems.
Wow. You know what's funny? I just realized over the weekend I was talking to Teresa about a big argument I got into with the guy who somehow ended up being my husband. After I was drugged, y'all. After I was drugged. Over food. Over what we were having for dinner. I can't believe I just happened to look down. Because I didn't have this. I just got this late last night. But, yeah, it happens. Oh, just stupid. Oh, we talk about who puts the toilet seat down and who should lift it back up. And we didn't have this conversation here on his Due Time before. And Brother Al said he was going to take the whole toilet with him. So, I mean, Pastor Charlotte, why are we arguing over who put the why you didn't put the toilet seat down? Why you didn't leave it up, take it out? But what is going on?
Yes, I do, because if you leave it up, my butt going to fall in and I'm just going to be cold. Yes, I'm mad. Ain't nobody sleeping.
And it's normally like if I, in the middle of the night, you know, like in the middle of the night, you go to the bathroom. You know where the bathroom is. Sometimes I don't turn the light on.
Right.
So I'm
right.
expecting for it to be down, right? Or
yep.
here's even another one. If that, if all the top piece is down. Oh!
Oh, my goodness. That happened to me, Pastor Charlotte, where the lid is down. I'm like, yo, who did that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I thought it was just me, Pastor Charlotte. I thought it was just me. Oh, my goodness. Tamika, the seat up, the seat down. Why is this an argument?
I'm going to be honest. That is it's annoying, you know, and in my house, I have the benefit of this. It's just something, the street light comes into that particular room, so I can always
okay.
see the bathroom. But why
okay.
not? Okay, so here's my way of negotiating the situation, and hear me out. So if you're a female, when you're done, put the seat up. If you're a male, put the seat down. Then, you know, I mean, it's the one thing. Then you have to look back automatically because you don't know who went to the bathroom last. But at least it gives you a mindset of negotiating. We don't think about it that way, but I mean, we could help each other out.
You're right.
I live with my brother, and I promise you, he's one of those persons who always leaves the seat up. But I said, you know what? Let's fix this. So now, you know, everybody has to look. You have to look. I have to look. And then we have that, you know, we keep it in mind. Okay, you better look back before you sit down. That way you don't cause an argument that's unnecessary.
Oh, that makes sense. Brother Al, have you taken the toilet out of the bathroom yet, or have you, the toilet seat, or have you, you know, left it there?
I'm taking the toilet seat, and I'm putting it in my backpack. And nobody got to worry about nothing.
Dude, that's nasty.
here's the thing that worked for me. I live by myself, and I'm the only man
okay.
in there. My cat got her cat box, so I ain't got to worry about her. So
okay,
I live
okay.
by myself. But I do think that the women should take a look. You just go in and sit down, then you yelling at me. You know what I'm saying? Still make sure that the seat is down, okay? But I do think that communication, and I really honestly believe if that's a big issue, we do need to talk about it and then come to some conclusion. Okay, you know what? When I finish, I'll put it down. When you finish, you put it up. But here's where the problem will come with that passage that we ain't thinking about, right? Now, Tamika said, yeah, you put it up. I mean, put it down when you finish, and I'll put it up. Now, what if she puts it up, and I ain't got to go to the bathroom, then she go back again? Is that my fault?
Yeah, but you're right, because that's what she just said. You know, she said, well, you know what? You don't know who used the bathroom last, so you still got to look.
Right.
So, you know, either way, you got to check, brother Al. You're absolutely right. Man, this is some dilemma. All right, so while we're in the bathroom, yes. I'm sorry. How about this? The women keep the toilet, and the men get a bucket.
Oh, see, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
That's coming from the pastor, y'all.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's a remedy. It's a remedy.
How about the women wear the pins and we then the men just use the bathroom? How about that?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. That is so not an option. I'd rather look. That's so not an option for me. Oh, my God. Listen, Brother Al, I already got enough issues. I don't need to be running around with no pants on. Oh, no. This is crazy. Oh, my God.
And they got the designer one. They got the designer one. They got the pretty designer one for the women. How about that?
I can't.
You know what? I'd rather
the look. I can only say looking. I ain't giving up. I'm just have to put an extra pig or turn the light on. And see, I'm with Pastor Charlotte. See, I don't want to burn lights. See, she said, you know, because like you said, you know your house. I don't like burning lights. See, I'm just going in the bathroom because I already know where the toilet is. I already know where the sink is. I already know where everything is. And like I think Tamika said, my house never gets pitch black, dark. It never gets pitch black. So, you know, I always
know. How about
know
a night
that,
light?
Whatever. No, I don't need no night light. That's electricity, Brother Al.
That burns very little.
I don't care. If it's 5 cents, it's too much. Waste not, want not. So I want to know where the toilet is. Let this shit down. Just leave it down. You got to do. I'm not wearing the pants for the house. That is not a sale or a selling point as to whether we keep the seat down or the seat up. No. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Wait, while we're in the bathroom, why are we arguing about why there's no toilet paper? Oh! Oh! The couples, we're talking about the reason, the dumb couple arguments. Why there's no toilet paper? You know when you finished using it, there was no toilet paper. Tamika, what is going on?
I'll be honest. That's one of them things that will tick me off because you just use the bathroom. You use that last little bit of toilet tissue. Then you couldn't go past and refill it. Or here's the other thing that drives me crazy. You have the toilet tissue holder, which is its purpose is to hold the toilet tissue. You go get a new roll of toilet tissue, and you put the toilet tissue on the floor. Like, to be honest, it's a thing that annoys me. Oh, my goodness.
Well, why am I wiping myself with something that's been on the floor? Well, come on, Tamika, I'm with you.
Exactly.
Why am I wiping myself with something that's been on the floor? Really? That's the best we can.
Or you take the toilet tissue and you put it on top of the toilet tissue holder instead of putting it inside.
Wait, putting it on top of the toilet paper holder? Oh, I'm done.
Yes.
I'm so done. Come on, Brother Al. Why are we arguing because there's no toilet paper left?
Because that's the worst. And I went through that when me and my brother used to live together. When we first moved out, me and my brother, we still live together. Just we got a three-family house. He live upstairs and got his own. But I would go to the bathroom, no tissue, and it's mad. There's no tissue, and you ain't home. I'm by myself. Really? Like, seriously? Seriously, you're going to use the tissue and not put it back. Then I'm calling you. Hey, he ain't home. What?
Oh, my goodness.
You got to do the walk of shame.
Yeah, you got to do the walk of shame.
Oh,
you got to put a hoodie on and walk down the hallway. But see, I saw that. I went right to the store and I bought one of those toilet tissue holders that hold like four rolls in there. You got one on the holder and four in there.
Oh,
so
okay.
You better not run out of that. So, but yeah, that's an argument. That's definitely an argument. Because, you know, especially when you look at it this way, you really got to go. You run in there and get to the bathroom. You go do your business. You go to reach for the tissue. And it's not there.
I know it gets
it's like
up in here.
TV. Yeah, you sit down and be like, did it happen? No tissue.
No, it gets turned up in here, Brother Al. It gets turned up in here. Pastor Charlotte, why are we arguing? Because there's no toilet paper left on the roll.
That's right. Or it might be just that two or three little pieces that's left. And you thought you had some. How about that one? How about that one? And then on top of that, you didn't put another one in there. But Brother Al,
The next thing was, you got to go get in the shower, baby. You ain't got to just go walk on over to the shower. And that got really worked out because it's shower. But it's crazy, though. It is crazy. I had to put, I just put a basket, and I just did put some in there because sometimes somebody don't put it in there. Or his one, or you screaming down the hall, could you please stop talking? And they act like they don't hear you. They act like they don't hear you.
Oh,
that gun be on. Now I'm focused. I want to turn off TVs on that. Yes. I'm mad.
You know, I had to learn. I don't know whether they eat the toilet paper in my house. I don't know what happens, but I buy the 20 rolls, two or three at a time, because before you know it, you go to the bathroom. Not only is there not any left, but ain't none in the house either, like Brother Allison. I'm like, yo, who used this? This is the last one. Ain't nobody said nothing. Why y'all don't? This, I forgot. What do you mean you forgot? I can't. Man, that would turn up. They turn up this house all the time. All right, we only got a couple of minutes left, but I want to ask, why are we arguing, couples? Because somebody watched the rest of the season of your favorite program. Oh, is that a problem or what? Brother Al.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem. Because, see, I don't have a problem that you went on and watched it. Now you want to sit there and tell me about it. And I'm just looking at you like, really? You know I haven't watched it yet. You know I haven't watched it yet. Here's the other one, Pastor. They sitting there with you, right? I ain't going to tell you what's going to happen. So you sitting there. Watch what happened right here. Watch this right here. Like, really? You just took all the suspense off it. You ain't tell me, but you just took the suspense off it.
Oh, God.
Oh, wait till you see this right here. Watch what happened after this right here. Oh, man. Yeah, that's all this, man. Like, that would be cool.
Ooh.
That was not cool.
Pastor Charlotte, why are we arguing? Because somebody watched the rest of the last season of the season.
Y'all are all up in my house. You know, for real.
Wow.
I just said to him, that's when you be talking. You want to tell me what's going to happen. You want to ask me questions. And I'm asking you, don't tell me. I want to see it by myself. And he will say it. And he will,
really?
Oh, my God, that drive me crazy. Yes. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Listen, watching the show or going to see a movie, oh, my God, it's the worst. I have to say to him, shut up. I want to see you on my phone. Now he's mad because I done hollered at him. Now you trying to act like he's my mother. Oh, funny, I been screaming. How about you? Because I... And then he said, can we watch a movie together? No, I'll go in there and you watch it in there because this way you won't ask me no question. We talk about it later over a burger. I'll be good.
You know what? Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. Come on, Tamika. Why are we arguing? Because you didn't watch the rest of the season.
Because you're having conversations with me about stuff that I don't know anything about yet. I'm trying to watch. Watch this. I'm not going to say nothing. I can't even focus on the movie because I'm listening to you say, watch this. That's not a minute. And depending on, you know, can I rewind it, you know, and then I got to keep, why you keep rewinding? You know, Janice died. What? Oh, man, now I'm mad because, you know. All of the fun to try and find out that Janice died is lost because you already told me. It's like reading the back of my book before I read it. Oh, my goodness. What's the purpose of reading the book? All the fun.
Wow.
You took all the fun out of it.
Wow. Oh, okay. We got a couple more minutes. Why are we arguing, couples? Because somebody forgot to pick the milk up at the store. Or the toilet paper. You keep forgetting to get the stuff at the store. I told you, I asked you to get the milk,
You said okay, and you keep forgetting everything I asked you to get from the store. Pastor Charlene, what is going on? Is it because we all...
And bring everything else.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? You know what? You could tell these are some experiences that you have.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes. I say I need butter. It's normally like, you know, something like butter. I need butter. Oh, that's what I forgot. Come in with you guys and everything else. Oh, I forgot. But that was the main thing that I asked you for. How you forget that the first few times to go in the store today?
Ooh-wee. That beard household.
Yes, ma'am.
Funny. Oh, my God. I need to move across the hall. I ain't got to worry about looking at TV. All I got to do is listen at the show. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Tamika, why are we arguing? Huh?
Like you say all the time, that's why we need Jesus.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Jesus needs to remind us that we got to store the butter, the butter, the butter. Speak to me, Lord. The butter, the butter, the butter. Oh, my goodness. Tamika, why are we arguing? Because you forgot to pick that up at the stove. What happened?
Because usually whatever it is that I'm sending you to the store for is the one ingredient I need. You need to be like the little child on Electric Company. A loaf of bread, a stick of milk, a stick of butter, and a gallon of milk. You need to keep reminding, keep saying it all the way to the store. Because, you know, what am I going to do with you know, I'm making potato salad, and you know the major ingredients in potato salad is mayonnaise. So I got the vinegar and I got the other stuff, but no mayonnaise. So now I'm sitting here. You bring back a box of rice. So what am I going to do with that rice? I'm going to put that rice inside the potato salad? What in the world? It's usually that one thing.
Ooh,
that you need.
Baby.
You got everything else. So now I got rice and potato salad with no mayonnaise.
Wow. Oh, man. And if that tater salad any good, I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be mad. Brother Al,
exactly.
What happened? What happened to us forgetting main thing at the stove?
And you know what's so funny about it? I didn't even go through it with my other half. It was my children. I'm sitting there like, listen, you know I love to cook. I need you to pick this up. Don't forget. I got you, Dad. I got you. Go to the store, come back. Hey, did you get the such and such? Oh, man, I forgot, Dad. That's what I sent you to the store for. But you ain't forget those cookies and chips you got, right? That ain't what I sent you to the store for. Well, you know, like, you know what, matter of fact, I'm going to go to the store and you ain't eating this tonight. You're making a sandwich tonight. You know I needed that for the steak, so you eat a sandwich tonight. You want to act like that? This is why I am so precise when I cook. That's why when I know I'm going to do something with a recipe, the day before I go in the cabinet, if I ain't got it, I write it on a list and I go myself because that,
yeah.
Oh boy, that angers me. Elder, and
ooh,
you know I need that ingredient.
Wow. Well, we got quite a few more things on this list, the dumbest things couples argue over. So we will be continuing this conversation next week. So listen, I'm telling you, text 347-285-7777. If you have something that you and your spouse are argue over, your couple and you argue over the stupidest things, or you have been in a relationship and y'all have argued over the stupidest things. Oh, my due time crew, Brother Al, Pastor Charlene, and our lady Tamika, thank you so much for joining us today. Oh, have a blessed one.
Oh, yeah, you have a blessed day. Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. Thank you. All right. Let's get to the top of the hour, where we have the opportunity to get our switch tip for the week. Let's say good morning to Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. What you got for us today?
Today I got the switch with Shanti, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 71 for this week is don't let in outside fears. So we have enough trouble battling our own internal fears when God is ready to take us to another level, when he's ready to work things out of us. Change is scary. It's uncomfortable. We allowed our own fears to interfere with us. And I looked up the definition of fear real quick, and it's an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger or an anxious concern. And I done had my fair share of being fearful of a lot of things, because we learned that you're not only fearful in one area of your life, but it goes throughout your entire life in all aspects. And this brought me to I was actually studying last night, and I came across the story again of God dealing with the Israelites when he was preparing them to enter into the land of Canaan that he was giving them. And it brought me back to, I believe I spoke on it before, but when God was ready to take me from the, you know, out of the workforce to now have me officially work for him, and I had this one strong naysayer in my ear, just everything that they were so concerned about and they were fearful of, and just kept chattering in my ear, oh, you can't do that. How could you stop working? You're not going to have no money. You're not going to do this. You're not going to be able to do that. And, so on and so forth. And it wasn't until, you know, as they were saying it to me, I was getting more upset and upset as they were talking. But it wasn't until after the conversation ended, I was like, wait, these are all the things that they're afraid of. Not to say they're not valid concerns, but I don't need to hear that right now. Because already I have to get into my understanding of what God is saying. You know, I have to be careful of how I question him. You know, I have to make sure that I'm learning to trust him. So I don't now need you here talking to me about the things that you're fearful of. This, and then I have to ask the person, well, is this for you or for me? Because people will push their concerns. Like, I came and expressed to you something that God said was going to happen for Ashanti. Not that's going to happen for you. So why are you all out of sorts? And now you're all scared and petrified because I'm not going to have, you don't care about me that much. But this is what people do. This is what people do. So it brought me to the story, and a couple of verses stuck out to me. But if you have not already read this, you have to go and read Numbers chapter 13 and 14, because the story is like, whoa. So God had Moses send people out to scout the country of Canaan, and it brought me to Numbers 13, verse A, the first part in the Message version, where God says, send men to scout out the country of Canaan that I am giving to the people of Israel. So when people start to tell you the things that they're fearful of, right, even if they don't say, I am afraid, if you pay attention, you'll be able to sense this. One of the most important things we have to remember is, if God is saying that he's doing this for you, or he's giving this to you, that should eliminate our fears altogether. Because he's not going to tell you he's doing something for and or with you and not be with you. So that should eliminate your fears, and it should definitely eliminate you allowing, because people are going to try to say and do whatever. But what we allow is a completely different thing. That right there alone should just have us automatically put up that barrier. I'm not trying to hear you. Numbers 14, 8 through 9 in the Message version. If God is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land that flows, as they say, with milk and honey, and he'll give it to us. Just don't rebel against God, and don't be afraid of those people. Why? We'll have them for lunch. They have no protection, and God is on our side. Don't be afraid of them. So again, if God says, I'm giving this to you, or I'm sending this to you, or I'm sending you to this place or to this person, or whatever your situation is, he is with you. There's a verse in the Bible that said, if God is for us, then who can be against us? So why are we now afraid of those things? And again, a lot of times we would expect to be fearful, but God blesses us with the peace that surpasses all understanding. And then here you go and allow somebody else or other people to now introduce or reintroduce those fears right back into your situation. Verses 22 and 23, also in the Message version. Not a single person of those who saw my glory, saw the miracle signs I did in Egypt and the wilderness, and who have tested me over and over and over again, turning a deaf ear to me, not one of them will set eyes on the land I so solemnly promised to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with such repeated contempt will see it. So again, if you have not read this story, this was God's response after the scouts, with the exception of two, came back and gave a report to the Israelites saying, yeah, this is what the land has. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. But we're just not able to go in and take it because of this. And this looks scary and that looks horrific. And we're going to be devoured, so on and so forth. So because they brought that report back, the Israelites then allowed their fears. They internalized the scout's fears. And now they started crying out, talking about, well, we should have died back where we were, and let's lynch Moses and pick a new leader to go back and die in the land that God delivered us from. All of the miracles that he showed us, that we saw with our own eyes, everything that he brought us through that we didn't ever think we would get through, and because I'm now internalizing someone else's fears, I will now be exempt from inheriting the blessing that God wanted to give me. And now you have to personalize this. What has God brought you through? The things that you thought could never happen, the bill you thought could never get paid, the places you thought you could never go, the positions you thought you could never have, but because someone else came and said, ain't no way you could do that, and now you internalize that. And now your attitude portrays that negativity towards God, because whether you realize it or not, that attitude is towards him. Despite everything he done shown you, he didn't show the other people those things, or maybe he didn't allow it to affect them that way. And now you're the one who is out of the blessing. So you have to make sure that we're making the conscious decision to deal with yourself, deal with your own fears with God, allow him to give you the peace that you didn't think you could have, and stop allowing other people to now come in and mess up your blessing. Let me tell you something real quick, right? People who do that don't care about their own blessing. So they don't want to see you blessed. And a lot of times, they don't even realize what they're doing. But you have to be on point with what could happen when you, even if you feel like, okay, well, what someone else says doesn't matter, don't even allow that to come across your ears. Don't let them write you no letter, send you no text, tell you verbally, I don't need no negativity right now. I had to say that to a few people a little while ago. Oh, it'll look like this can happen. Okay, it may not happen, but I don't need to hear that right now. Because I need to learn to stay a little more positive. And even though what you're saying sounds like it has a whole lot of logic, that's not what I need in my arena right now. You have to be unapologetically like, yeah, get away from me. So we have to make sure we're making a conscious decision to making a switch from allowing outside fears to come in, to make sure we're pushing that out so that we don't miss out on our blessing. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shanti, for that switch tip. Don't let in outside fears. Thank you so much. You have, is there a comment from a listener?
Oh, yes, regarding the toilet situation.
Oh, okay.
One second, I'm sorry. Okay, so a listener sent in, well, you might want to rethink the toilet seat down because there have been snake sightings popping up in people's toilet, particularly at night. Just saying.
Woo, baby. This is what happens when we listen to the news. Thank you, Shanti, for sharing that.
You're
have a blessed one.
You too.
Oh, thank you. All right, all right, all right. Oh, I mean, we have our share of stories here on this due time, and now we have to watch out for the snakes in the toilet. Mm. Well, I guess that'll help with the toilet seat being down, right, Pastor Charlotte? At least you ain't got to worry about it coming up. Woo!
All right, we're going to have our benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Numbers 6:22-26. Oh, we've had our fun today talking about, you know, the dumbest arguments that we have as couples. And, you know, we laugh and, you know, because it's just silly stuff. And, you know, a lot of the stuff is, you know, things that we don't even necessarily argue with, you know, with our partner. It's just stuff that happens, right? And as we see, these things can turn real ugly. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, we've been talking about Christian responsibility and, you know, don't be a small-minded Christian, because, you know, it's a lot to be said for how we handle a situation. You know, some of these things we talked about, I'm sure, have sparked a many nasty, nasty argument, unfortunately. But it's up to us. You know, I have a tagline. You know, somebody got to be the first one to stop talking. And a lot of times you have to really remember that. You really have to remember, you know, somebody's got to be the first one to stop talking. Because something as small as, you know, not, you know, there not being enough toilet paper on the roll when I go to the bathroom can really lead into something that is really out of control. And what happens most times, and I think it was Brother Al who said it, the communication level is down. And, you know, so we don't say nothing. You know, okay, it just made me mad that the toilet seat, you know, was left up. Then it made me, but I ain't gonna say nothing, I ain't gonna say nothing. You know, there's no toilet paper in here, you know, but I'm pissed off, but I ain't gonna say nothing, you know, because I'm tired of talking. You know, I've said it 15 times already, and, you know, I'm just gonna leave it like that too. You know, so now there's no communication, and now things are going to get out of control, because when you're arguing over the toilet seat and the toilet paper, you're really not just arguing over the toilet seat and the toilet paper. You're arguing about all the other stuff. You're arguing about, you know, this didn't happen and that didn't happen and you didn't do this and you didn't do that and, you know, how come this wasn't done and how come that wasn't done? And, you know, I'm tired, you know, of discussing this, and I'm tired of talking about that. And, you know, before you know it, there's this huge blowout. You know, why am I, you know, what are we going to have for dinner? I don't care. So now you got another dilemma going on. So it just continues to fester. It continues to grow. And that's what sets us apart, you know, as people of God, as children of God. You know, not that we don't, you know, get upset. You know, because the Bible tells us, you know, well, yeah, you can be angry, but sin not. And a lot of times, we're not thinking about it like that. We're not thinking about it like that. Again, because it gets out of control, then you somehow end up sinning. You know, whether you're cussing or slamming something or throwing or moving furniture or, you know, then you're not speaking. You know, things like that, and that leads to other stuff. That leads to holding back, and, you know, I don't feel like talking right now. You know, it just grows into something so ugly. And at the end of the day, is it something that can be prevented? Absolutely. Just do what you need to do. You know, we talked about something as simple as, you know, making sure that the seat is down for the next person. You know, the Bible tells us to outdo one another with love. You know, doing to others as you would have them doing to you. What happened to those scriptures? Do they become less important when it comes time to put the toilet seat down? if we were to not be small-minded Christians, and we were to really play out these scriptures, there's a reason why God tells us to do these things, because it would make our lives so much more peaceful. You know, a harmonious home is nothing to sneeze at. Oh, my goodness. You know, I always say, I don't care what goes on out in the street. I just need to be able to come home to a peaceful home. You know, is it going to be quiet all the time? Will people not get upset? You know, of course, because, you know, a lot of times you're bringing in, you know, what has happened to you during the day. And, you know, you got to get a chance to unwind and all of that kind of good stuff. But the fact of the matter is that needs to be a part of your regimen. Making sure you leave whatever you got at the door as long as possible. You know, don't bring that stuff in and now it upsets the whole house. It's okay, you know, if you step through the door, but you know what? Say your prayer before you get through the door. So by the time you get in and you're taking off your shoes, you're taking off your coat, you're taking off your jacket, you're taking off a little piece of what you had coming through the door. Think about it like that. This is when I take off my shoes, that's that coworker that pissed me off today, and I wanted to really slap her, but I just took that off. You know, when you take off that hat, you know what? That's that pedestrian that stepped in front of my car who was talking on their phone and I almost hit them. You know, take it off. Take it off like an article of clothing. Yeah. How about we do that? And then you'll find that, you know, by the time you finish undressing, you done your woosah, you know, and you're greeting everybody. Or, you know, if you live alone, you know, you're coming home and now you can unwind and get on because you done left all of that at the door. So, you know, think about it like that, you know, but it takes a Christian attitude. I'm going to tell you something. People say, well, it's not a Christian. No, you're right. Everybody, you know, everybody has a bit of God in them. Why? Because God says, let us make man in our own image. So, yes, we have the DNA of the enemy, but we also have DNA of God. And that can, remember, greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. So you want to make sure that you exemplify the components of Christ. Because when you do that, it shifts everything. Everything. When you learn to walk off, when you learn to woosaw, when you learn to just look at a person and go, okay, and walk off, not dismissing them in that manner, but just like, you're not going to upset my night. Yeah. Then you're going to be all right. And you've shown them the traits of Christ. So that's why I tell you, go back and listen to the past 2 weeks, because for 2 weeks we talked about being a small-minded Christian. We talked about the Christian responsibilities. And it's nothing to sneeze at. That's something you're going to have to do. Like Shanti said, don't let it know outside fears. Let them keep that. Don't let them bring that to you. And when they start talking about it, you need to learn how to change the subject or disconnect the phone call. Yeah. Because people will really, really infuse that into the conversation. And now you are now being affected and infected sometimes, okay? So pay attention to that. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming on through and helping us shake that Monday morning blues. I want to thank you for hanging out with us and sharing your time and sending in your comments. Thank you so much. Remember, later is not promised to us, so you need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, okay? Until tomorrow, God spares with. Let's talk about it Tuesday, church folk day. I love you.